Good evening. Welcome to Digging Deeper here on the Living Faith Television Network. Digging Deeper is a ministry of Green Valley Baptist Church, and I am Dr. Don R. Zampona, the pastor at Green Valley. And we are so thankful that you have joined us here this evening. Tonight, I'm going to be speaking from the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 3, where God is going to show us how to stand alone with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that's what this particular text teaches, and not a greater lesson needs to be learned today than this one, standing up and standing alone, for the simple fact that every man, woman, and child in Christ is a twice-born person living in a once-born world. Friend, that simply means a Christian is going to be up against it most of the time. And so my prayer is that this message will be a blessing for you, because family and friends, in this world today, there will be come a time when you may discover your faith is in the fire. And I'm going to be reading, as I mentioned, from Daniel chapter 3, and allow me to encourage you to grab your Bible and you follow along. But I want to tell you about an ancient Christian before I read. And this man's name was Athanasius, and Athanasius was a bold, strong Christian. And he would take stands, and other people would say, he's arrogant, or he's stubborn, or he's narrow-minded. The emperor's name was Theodosius, and Theodosius said to Athanasius, Athanasius, the whole world is against you. And Athanasius said to Theodosius, then Athanasius is against the whole world. Well, family and friends, it takes courage to stand alone. And I believe as time moves closer to the rapture of the church, Christians the world over are going to discover more and more the necessity to learn to stand alone in the day and the age in which we live. As the days get darker, how much more necessary will it be for your children? And so we need to learn to stand alone, and we need to teach our children how to stand, and not out of stubbornness, not out of arrogance, and not out of narrow-mindedness, simply because standing on the principles of God's Word is the right thing to do. To stand up for those things that are holy, righteous, and true, and just is necessary. To stand up for the things that are going to last throughout time and eternity is necessary. And it is exactly what God expects His child to do. And so I want to read the first 14 verses here in Daniel chapter 3. And the word of our Lord says unto us, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dur in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. They stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, the same hour shall be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations, and the languages fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up. Father, we thank you for your word to us tonight. And Lord, we're here to learn how to stand up and stand alone in this evil day in which we're living. Lord, help us tonight to learn how we need to stand firm in our faith. Help us to grow as a Christian. Give us the necessary courage that we need through the power of your Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray these things in that sweet and holy name, the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen and amen. Well, friend, we see here, certainly you're recognizing from this passage of Scripture, it's the story of the three Hebrew children who were thrown into a fiery furnace. And many of you have learned this story in Sunday school at some point, about these Jewish boys who would not worship the image and who were thrown into that fiery furnace because they would not bend, they would not break, and they would not bow. But we also find out something else as we get to the end of this chapter. We'll find out that they did not burn. And they came out of that fiery furnace, and we all rejoice in that story. Family and friends, listen to me. This is not just simply what has been done. It is a record of what God is doing, and it is not merely a record of what God is doing and what God has said. It is a record of what God is saying right now in our day and in our time. And you're going to find yourself very soon in a fiery furnace, some incendiary circumstance. Before long, you're going to find out that your faith will be in the fire. And it will be necessary for you, like these young men of old, to stand alone. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was an egomaniac. He was a megalomaniac. He was stuffed full of his own self-importance. So great was his ego. So great was his self-worship that he had an image made of himself. And then he demanded that everyone bow down and worship that thing. I want you to see that gigantic image. Just close your eyes for a moment and picture that gigantic image made of gold standing out there on the plains of Dura, like some missile on a pad waiting to be launched. And I want you to imagine hearing the command given that everybody is to bow down and everybody is to worship that image, or else you're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. And that's all they needed. You see, when the band struck up, what do we find? Thousands of people hit the dust. Thousands of people fell down in obeisance before that golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had made. But there were three in that day who would not bend, who would not bow, and they did not break. And they stood alone. They stood alone. They were, and because they did, they were thrown into that fiery furnace. Now you need to know this is not some old time story. This carries great relevance for us in our day and in our time today. Because Daniel, you see, is a book of prophecy. And in his book, he gives us a picture in the person of Nebuchadnezzar of the Antichrist. And if you're not aware, there is coming a man who will one day rule the world as Babylon was ruled by Nebuchadnezzar. He will be called the devil's Messiah. He's called in the Bible the beast. He's called in the Bible the man of sin. He's called in the Bible the lawless one. He is called in the Bible the wicked one. He is called in the Bible Antichrist. And all of these are different names, different description as one incredibly wicked human being who may now be living and who will one day rule the world during a period of time that the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. Well, you may be thinking as you listen to me tonight, well, what does it have to do with me? What does it have to do with me? I don't have to worry about the Antichrist because I understand the scripture to say when the Christians are taken out of the world, then the Antichrist will come. Well, friend, that's true. And I believe that. But listen to what the Apostle John said in 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists. Did you get that? Many Antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time. That is to say, the more you see the spirit of Antichrist that work in our world, the more you realize that you are living in the last time. And Nebuchadnezzar, here in Daniel 3, is a picture of the Antichrist. And there are three points that I'm going to make in this message. And the first is, I want you to note the fury they faced. The fury they faced. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image, and as we learn to stand alone, look at the fury these boys faced. Can you just imagine for a moment the pressures that were upon them? But let's ask the question to help us in our understanding, how does Nebuchadnezzar picture and stand for the Antichrist? Well, there are a few interesting ways that the Bible teaches. For example, Nebuchadnezzar made an image of himself, and he told everybody to worship that image. Now you need to write this down somewhere, Revelation 13:13. And you listen as I read this verse. It's speaking of the Antichrist now, not Nebuchadnezzar. So this is the book of Revelation, not the book of Daniel. And it's the last book of the Bible. And listen to what the Bible has to say, Revelation 13:13. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven, this on the earth, in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by a sword and did live, and he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Revelation 13:13-15. Well, Nebuchadnezzar says here in Daniel 3, I got me an image. And if you don't worship it, you're going to be killed. The Antichrist is coming. And he's going to make an image more incredible than the one that Nebuchadnezzar had built. And if those people of that time will not worship, they will not worship that image, they will not bow down, Nebuchadnezzar said, you will be killed. Well, there's an interesting thing here in the use of the number 6 in this passage, and it's seen here. I want you to look at Daniel 3:1 again with me. And the Bible says, the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits. Well, how many is 60? Well, 60 is 60. And the breadth of it was, the Bible tells us, 6 cubits. And how many pieces of orchestra music was there? How many pieces were in the orchestra? Well, look with me at verse 5. And the Bible says that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship. Well, dulcimer, that's 6. Count them with me. The flute, the cornet, that's 1. The flute, that's 2. The harp, that's 3. The sackbut, that's 4. Psaltery, that's 5. Dulcimer, that's 6. All through this thing, you find the number 666. Well, do you know what the number is of the beast, the Antichrist, that's going to come? The Bible answers that for us in Revelation 13 and 18, where the Word of God says, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 666. And so understand, God is saying to us that there was a man named Nebuchadnezzar, and he is a type, a picture, a prophecy, an illustration of the Antichrist that will come. Friend, one day the Antichrist will set up an image. One day he will use the number 666 to cause universal worship. But in this day and in this age in which we now live, the Bible teaches that the spirit of the Antichrist is already in this world. There are many Antichrists. And if people in that day must stand alone, so must we stand alone in our day. And there's going to be incredible pressure. Now, I want you to see what Nebuchadnezzar did so long ago to try to get these people to conform. First, he created emotional enticement. Look again at verse 5. At what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. In other words, the Babylonian orchestra began to play, and there was incredible music. Have you ever stopped to think what music does? Music touches the emotions, and music is a gift of God. We use music to worship and praise God. But the devil also knows the power of music. And Satan is using music today like never before to enforce his diabolical plans upon this world. You see, Satan is a master musician. The Bible even speaks of Satan as having talents of pipes in him. Ezekiel 28:13, when he speaks, it's like majestic music. And his music can be hideously beautiful, or it can have a demonic beat, but it is Satan's tool, and he is using it as never before. For example, some folks love to listen to the obscenity that is characteristic of rap music. Some love to watch and listen to MTV, which is nothing more than visual and musical pornography wed together. And so Satan wants to capture a generation by music. And none of us can deny that there is an emotional enticement in music. Nebuchadnezzar also created social inducement. And the Bible mentions that here in verses 2 and 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, set together to gather the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors and captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors and sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before that image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. The herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations and languages." In other words, everybody's doing it. And if you do not fall in line, if you do not step in time, if you do not do what you're told, you're going to be looked upon as an oddball. Well, family and friends, we're moving quickly toward a one-world government. The America that we have known is being diluted and absorbed into a generation and a globalism spurred on by the global gullibility of those who will not stand alone. And they will not stand for what is right. And so Nebuchadnezzar also created an atmosphere of government enforcement. Look at verse 6, "And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace." Now the government in that day and the government in our day is trying to squeeze everybody into a mold. Those on the left say that you cannot stand for this and you cannot stand for that. We must all stand for the same thing. The problem is that what the liberal left stands for isn't what God stands for. And before Trump, when the liberal left was in charge, they threatened saying, "We will arrest you for contempt of court. We will take away your tax-exempt status. We will do this, we will do that, because you are in the way of the progress of peace." And friend, Jesus said, in the last days there's coming a time when those who kill you will think they do God a service, John 16:2. There's an organization called Fundamentalist Anonymous. That is, I once was a believer, a member of a Bible-believing church, and they use the term fundamentalist as a sneer. People like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez claim Christianity is a form of mind control. It's nothing but a lie. She claims Jesus has nothing, was nothing but a hoax. They claim when you stand up for the Bible, they say, and the Bible says this is wrong or this is right, that you're mentally sick and you just have to pity people like that. But understand, Nebuchadnezzar also created a culture of spiritual defilement. Look again, "And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth it." Now learn this about the devil. The devil does not want casualties. The devil wants converts. You see, the devil wants to be worshipped. And the Antichrist that comes, he wants to be worshipped. Revelation chapter 13, verses 7 and 8. "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." That's the kind of power in government enforcement the Antichrist is bringing. And you need to look around today because it's coming sooner than you think. This is the power that the liberals are clamoring for. And this is what we're up against as Bible-believing Christians. We're up against emotional enticement. We're up against social inducement. We're up against governmental enforcement. We're up against spiritual defilement. And it is in this world today already everywhere. Now, wherever you are, this is what's happening in our world today. And as a child of God, you're going to have to learn how to stand against it. We've come as far as we can go tonight, and yet there's two more points in this message, so we're going to continue this next week. But friend, tonight, as you've heard this message, you may realize that you're not ready to go. If Jesus Christ was to come tonight, if Jesus Christ was to call you, if you were to stand before the God of heaven tonight and he was to say to you, why should I let you into my heaven? Have you thought about what you would say? I hope so. Because a day is soon coming. And friend, if you won't worship Jesus Christ, you're already worshiping the Antichrist. And I hope that you'll repent of your sin tonight, and I hope that you'll get saved. Now, I'm certain there are those listening tonight who want to be saved because God's word never goes out void. And so if you're listening tonight and you'd like to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you just repeat these words after me. You say them sincerely from your heart. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, but right now, tonight, I have heard what's coming upon this world, and I want no part of it. Lord, I'm repenting of my sin, and I'm putting my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to this world. Thank you that he died for my sin. And thank you that by putting my faith and trust in him, I can receive your forgiveness. Forgive me. Jesus, forgive me. I am putting my faith and trust in you tonight. Lord, I want you to know my heart is yours. Help me to live a life that will bring you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. And friend, if you prayed that prayer tonight from your heart, I want you to know that Jesus has saved your soul. And so you come and you contact us there and let us know how we can be praying for you.